Pause.
Welcome to McGuffman. I'm Alex, and with me, as usual, is James.
APU.
No, we got it. Thank you. Before we get started, we just want to get you to check out our website, themcguffinmen.com. We've got a lot of good content that we've put out recently. Basically, every prestige picture that's worth talking about, we've talked about American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis. We also talked about Magnolia last week and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure the week before it. So yeah, you can find all those episodes on our website, themcguffinmen.com, and also follow us on Twitter, at themcguffinmen, all one word, no underscores, nothing like that. And yeah, you can get all of our sporadic updates through Twitter. So yeah, but let's get to the theme song.
Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. And now, here are Alex and James.
All right, James.
That's the second worst song I've heard today.
And what is the worst song you've heard today?
Everything is awesome. Okay. yeah, cool we are. Style. Pardon?
Don't try and be cool, Wild Style.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking about the Lego movie today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A movie you suggested that I was kind of, yeah, sure, why not?
I have no idea why. I still have no idea why. Like,
I know. I can't quite explain it either. Okay. I guess I didn't know who was responsible for it.
Okay.
And that would be Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who
are your boys.
Apparently.
Yeah.
21 Jump Street, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Brooklyn Nine-Nine pilot.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Clone High. I haven't seen any Clone High in like 10 years, but I recall it being good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they were involved in the beginning of How I Met Your Mother, which is a show I like quite a bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A show you like quite a
yes.
bit. And, yeah, so I saw it a few days ago. And when did you see it?
2 days ago, if we're being precise.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I think couples
God.
Too. What?
Same day.
Same days. How'd you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
big fan. As I was watching it, I was like, this is fine, this is very funny, and then it sort of takes a turn, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. As I was watching it, I thought it was pretty amazing. I mean, the more you think about it, the more it kind of the things I liked about it kind of fall apart and kind of end up making me depressed more than happy, but. As for the process of actually watching this movie, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
How can you be depressed when everything is awesome?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought you would.
I know, and it got such good reviews that I was kind of at that point where I was like, okay, it's probably good, but it can't be this good. And I really do think it's as good as kind of the general consensus has been.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland 3D, it's one of those movies where the theater's like a third sober adults, a third their kids, and a third stoned adults. So that's always a good mix.
Yeah.
Like, did you have a lot of young kids at your theater?
I purposely went in the afternoon of a weekday.
Oh, right, you would. Yeah.
like there were a suspicious number of adults with children, though.
Yeah,
it's a Tuesday that I know schools are open on, you know?
Yeah, oh, it's a big deal. The Lego movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's such a big deal, you can see it on opening weekend.
I guess that's true, too.
It's not like it opened on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we should actually talk about this movie.
Yeah, we could do that.
Kind of a tough... like goal for the Phil Lord and Chris Miller to make this movie. Like, it's such a blank slate, you know. Lego, it's, I know they've had like media, like they've had DVDs and some movies with a narrative, but
yeah, I mean, like the Bionicle series was a moneymaker on DVD for a long time
as well, yeah, you know? And I guess they have a Ninjago series as well that mm-hmm. they're thinking of doing something with now that this kind of went perfectly.
Okay.
But I mean, they just had, I don't know. I'm really impressed by this. Like, I enjoyed watching it and everything, but just considering all the stuff they had to do, like, to make it good for kids, make it good for parents, you know, some good corporate branding, set up a sequel, make a bunch of money, have a bit of heart, and like have an overall good message. Yeah. I think they did all of those very well. And
in a creative way.
Yeah, yeah, like it exactly. was
the like the main theme of the movie is, you know, sort of knowing when to follow the knowing that there are instructions and sort of subverting them a bit. And I mean, that's kind of Phil Lord and Chris Miller's whole thing. But yeah, I think the general idea behind this movie is build a Lego set, but change up about 30% of it while you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. And
so it still looks like Lego, but you're allowed some agency in there.
Yeah, and I just think more so than, you know, Transformers or G.I. Joe, this, like, it's a product so much about creativity and play and, you know, free play and doing your own thing that it's cool that they made it a lot different. And, yeah. you know, it's still... such a formulaic story. Like when you break it down, it's just, you know, a very basic script at its core, but it's so wild and so crazy, like visually, and just some of the script choices that they make are pretty off the wall.
Yeah.
I just think it lines up with kind of what Lego is or what it's supposed to be really well. And
yeah. And all of these things sort of, you know, that don't necessarily look like they should come together, just sort of coming together and, you know, your blue plastic Lego bin, you know, like it's just sort of like once those sets are out of the box, they're never kept separately from anything else again. You know, so that's how you get like Batman and Emmett together.
Yeah. Unless Will Ferrell's your dad, in which case nothing gets combined.
Well, yeah. It's not like he's a rare case. Like I know a Lego fiend, you know, like an adult Lego fiend.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I hadn't seen a kids movie in a while. Just the sincerity and enthusiasm right off the bat with this movie.
Well, and your favorite delivery device for enthusiasm and sincerity being Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Yeah. Yeah. And he is, I didn't even think about it, but he's such a perfect fit for this. Like just going back to who he is in Parks and Recreation and even a little bit Moneyball, like just so genuine and sincere, but insane and hilarious. Yeah. Like just the perfect combination for this movie, and I never really considered that.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking of is like, do you think, as far as like people in Hollywood, do you think he is sort of, if you're an infant child, the best case scenario for your dad? Because like I can't imagine anybody being a better parent to somebody that's like, you know, 1 to 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to be so, he is Lego.
Because he's got young kids, so that's why I was thinking about him and Anna Faris. But yeah, I just was just like, yeah, he's probably the best dad.
Yeah. Oh, he's just having just as much fun as the kids are playing around.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah. It's yeah. But yeah, he was good enough. I mean, I always find him funny, and this wasn't any big difference. But his enthusiasm and like genuine feelings about things and like just doing the jumping jacks and like paying a lot for coffee at the start. It was just him doing that is killer. And I think so much now in culture is so cynical and sarcastic that, like, I know it's a kids movie and that, you know, you don't get that as much in stuff for young kids, but it's such an interesting change to see something so popular be like so, at least at the beginning, and or at least on the surface, to be so straightforward and enthusiastic.
Yeah, yeah, but that is pretty much as soon as he leaves his house, the enthusiasm steps down a bit because we sort of get that opening of, you know, we're seeing everybody going about their business, everybody in the city, and it really reminded me of the opening of Shaun of the Dead, you know, where it's just sort of like everything is moving in step just because that is the way that things are done. And him, you know, talking about, we got to root for the local sports team, go local sports team, and paying for the coffee and all of that. It's just sort of like going through the motions. He's just sort of doing it in a more enthusiastic way than Shaun is. But yeah, it just sort of, it really reminded me of that, you know, and I thought it was very funny and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, without Emmett being the way he is, and I think just the aesthetics of this movie, everything being so bright and colorful and having like really bouncy music the whole time. Yeah, it could be a dystopian movie.
It's just the happiest dystopia.
Yeah, it's just the happiest dystopia. But yeah, just kind of the conformity of it all. But it's just that sincerity that makes it enjoyable. But it makes it so, I don't know. There's something so funny about it. Like, I think the Everything is Awesome song, the Tegan and Sarah Lonely Island song, that comes up pretty early in this movie. Like, that works outside of this movie, I think. I think that works as a digital short or just a Lonely Island track or a viral video. Just that much sincerity. Like, it's so laughable, the amount of positivity that comes out of it.
And, yeah.
And this, it kind of fits in, which it's, I don't know. I find it so entertaining that it works on both of those levels.
Yep.
But you like that song, right? It's your new jam?
Oh, yeah, of course.
New ringtone?
Yeah. When you think of me, you think of that song, Everything is Awesome. Like, never has a song and person gone so hand in hand as me and Everything is Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll get more back to the meaning and kind of back to the semi-dystopic nature of this in a crazy positive shell. Let's talk about the characters a bit, though. You already called me Wild Style.
Yep. because you are a DJ.
Because I am DJ. Wonderful joke.
Particularly Morgan Freeman saying it.
Oh, fuck. Morgan Freeman was so funny in this movie.
I thought Liam Neeson was amazing.
Yeah, no,
is he doing the good cop voice as well?
It sounded like it to me.
Yeah, it really sounded like it, but I was like, this is so not Neeson-y.
I know. It made me so happy.
Yeah.
So Wild Style.
Yeah.
How'd you like DJ Wild Style?
She was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's Linda Cardellini in real life. Like, if this was a live action movie.
as a huge Linda Cardellini fan, I'm totally fine with that. Not that Elizabeth Banks is a bad choice, but.
No. I really love when they've kind of just met Emmett and Wild Style and they're riding the horses in the Old West and. She's talking and he's very distracted.
Yeah.
She says, I'm pretty, I like you, but I'm angry at you for some reason. Yeah.
Blah, 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 exposition stuff or whatever. So funny.
I thought that was the angry at you for some reason part. I thought it was great. Like, yeah. I just liked Wild Style being like cute, not like sexy. Obviously, it's a kid's movie. They weren't going to do too much with it. But she's just kind of like an alt rocker with her freckles and dyed hair. And
yeah.
I don't know. Liked her a lot.
She was funny. The design of her character was funny. When I saw this movie, one of those aforementioned parent and child combinations was sitting pretty, like, one or two rows behind me. And that joke where he's trying to call and report Wild Style being on the site, and it's just, he's just like, for, like, such a long time. Like, halfway during that sound, guy leans over to his kid, is like, this is going too long. And I'm like, what is this? Are we going to break down the jokes on a situation basis?
Okay, good tag. That should have used another beat.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I will say, it took my crowd a while to warm up to the tone of the movie, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't think most people around me were prepared for the kind of comedy they got. Like, by the 20-minute mark, everybody was laughing. But for the first 10 to 15 minutes, I was my laugh was a lonely sound.
Yeah, I did not know what to expect from this movie. And I hadn't even really seen a lot of the trailer stuff, so I didn't really know a lot of the comedy. Yeah, I found myself, especially near the beginning, being the only one really laughing hard. And I was like, no, guys, this is golden. And then eventually everyone came around again.
How full was your theater?
It was pretty full.
Yeah, Tuesday night?
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, a lot of kids, like, when they'd say the, like, 10 seconds later or, like, 4 minutes, which was a good joke, too,
yeah.
Like, it was all the kids reading along with it. I was like, oh, like, out loud.
Yeah.
It's like, these kids are, yeah. but no, like, everyone, I guess near the end, it gets way more kind of, not the real life stuff, but it gets a lot more aimed towards adult near the end, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
fuck. We were talking about the Old West. The thing I wanted to talk about was when he's... The Old West music, when that starts in as Emmett is falling. And then, you know, with a camera, like... what would be a helicopter shot is coming through, and then we see Emmett and hear him yelling as he's falling, like, past the camera. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. And then him continuing to yell after he hit the ground.
I enjoyed that a lot too. Yeah. Did that guy say that joke was going on too long?
No, I think by that point he understood that he was watching a comedy and they were going to be telling one or two jokes.
Okay, good. Yeah. We already kind of mentioned Morgan Freeman, but I was so happy with him in this.
Yeah, great casting, and he was great.
Yeah, like maybe I should just watch Las Vegas now just because.
No, you should not.
Morgan Freeman can be this good. No. That idea was just the worst. And when the talking cat poster joke came back, that fucking killed me.
That joke was funny. The callback was amazing.
Vitruvius on the string as a ghost as well was.
Oh, I laughed so hard.
Another winner.
Yeah, that was great. When do we get to talk about Batman? Is it Batman time yet?
Let's talk for 2 seconds about Bad Cop kicking that chair.
Okay.
And Bad Cop's parents being frozen in place.
Yeah, that scene was so funny. There were
like Transformer parents quality.
There were a couple good little comedy bits where they sort of were in no rush to move on to the next scene. And basically those two things that you're talking about are great examples of them. Yeah,
like, I don't know. They're not the only one to do it, but it just was kind of like a Family Guy joke, like a little long, again, not in a rush to do anything, and just a very real, like, human kind of moment, like not affectionate, not sweet, but just like a thing people do. And it's just very, very entertaining.
And Will Ferrell, President Business, yelling at Bad Cop's dad for moving.
Oh yeah, that's so what I meant. Funny. Yeah, that was the best.
I loved it so much.
Yeah. Okay, now it's Batman time.
Okay. Batman was awesome.
Maybe my favorite Batman performance of all time.
Oh, he was... Will Arnett was so funny. Everything he said was hilarious.
Did Batman steal this movie? Like,
I don't know. Well, I think it would have been problematic if the movie hadn't ended in such an unexpected way. I think that's sort of the thing that makes Batman not a hindrance to the movie, despite the fact that he's obviously amazing. But like, it was, his song was so funny.
I didn't know this, but I think they play the whole song at the end of the credits.
Oh yeah, it's on the soundtrack as well.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube, and the lyrics are absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
it's called Untitled Self-Portrait is the title they gave it. Which is stellar.
Super rich. That makes it better.
And just his, like, the whole them talking about how serious he is was really funny. And then just his lines even outside of that were really funny. Like, police to meet you made me laugh so hard. And what I think is my favorite joke in the movie is when the Star Wars guys show up and he says, that thing is filled with bon vivants. I could not believe that joke, and I laughed so hard at it.
Yeah, it's...
And it's like a throwaway.
I know.
That line is so good.
I was trying to think of some of my favorite Batman stuff, and I'm like, they're all just short lines that often have nothing to do with the plot, and I know I'm forgetting like half of his lines that are just golden.
Oh, dude. God, it's so good.
Yeah, but it's just been... I mean, all the years, and I mean, we talked about it. We did our Dark Knight podcast.
And just him going away and returning and having nobody in his first scene, too. I thought that was great.
Yeah, but all the talk of how... Again, just how dark and gritty and real, like, his movies have been, to just totally take the piss out of him with this. Like, just to be like, yeah, okay, we get it. You're super dark. Here's a song about you thinking you're super dark. More darkness. The opposite of light. Like... Very, very fucking funny to me. And I mean, he's just playing Job. I mean, Will Arnett doesn't have a huge range. He just plays Job most of the time. But now he's playing Super Job, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I am in support of Super Job, and would watch that movie. Even and if it's just him dressed as Batman on an all-black Segway, I would watch an hour and a half of that.
And it's the best Bruce Wayne, like the actual rich douchebag, self-entitled Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So what's it a testament to that we still like Batman at the end of this movie, even though he's such an asshole? Like, he's the terrible boyfriend of the girl that the main character is trying to get. Like, that character is never, ever likable, and yep. he pulls it off because it's Batman.
Yeah, I mean, we have years and years of built-in love for Will Arnett and Batman, so.
Yeah.
You get, the end of this movie could have been Batman, like, punching a small child that you love, and you would have been like, ah, it's just Batman. He's got rage issues.
And I thought the line of he's the hero you deserve had to be the best thing for you.
Oh, I loved it.
That was another one of me laughing really loudly and four other people doing so. Yeah. And not really landing very well.
Yeah. I only one other person in my theater got, or that landed with them. But
it's such a solid joke, though.
Yeah.
Like movie to movie joke.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I was very pleased about it. So, yeah, tons of pop culture stuff in here.
Yeah.
I'm glad, like, I'm so happy they were able to get all this licensing. Like, the Batman stuff was hilarious. Batman stealing the hyperdrive from the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, that's another movie-to-movie joke that is just, like, even if you don't quite know the reference, like, the exact scene, that's still a funny joke. But yeah. That was so good. But, yeah, I'm glad they were able to do... like so many Batman, Superman, like Shaquille O'Neal, like so many good characters that I did not expect to see together.
Yeah, when they said the 2002 or 2003 NBA All-Stars, I laughed really hard. Because, and like that was also a remembrance thing, because I remember like seeing that Lego set and being like, why do they have a Lego set for the NBA players?
And, yeah.
And the just the like the line, they were ready for this, was super funny to me.
I do want to talk about all the licensed stuff, because when we were growing up, there wasn't as much like kind of pop culture licensed Lego, right?
Yeah, I think it sort of starts toward the end of the 90s, I think, but I could be wrong. I'm sure there was something mixed in.
Yeah, I think they're pretty early on they started, but lately I think I just see so much more of it. Not that I spend that much time in toy stores, but I think it's a lot more prevalent now. And I think it's funny, like the way Hollywood now relies so much more on the franchises and sequels and superheroes, and like they're bringing back obviously Batman superheroes were huge, they're bringing back Star Wars, J.J. Abrams doing what's probably going to be three more of those.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that Lego's really using it a lot in their toys, and then they're using it a lot in their movie as well. Did you find that interesting?
Yes, but it's also kind of speaks to the whole thing that, like, I mean, you can't just, if there's something that the kid recognizes next to something that the kid doesn't recognize, they're going to go with the recognized thing, you know? And so it's just sort of like to get Lego to have these continued sales. I'm sure they still sell these just Lego sets, but there kind of has to need, I don't know, the whole like fake Robin Hood sets thing probably wouldn't sell so well now. Yeah.
I wonder why that's the case now more than it used to be. Just more advertising?
Yeah.
Just the stronger, more pervasive pop culture, I guess.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It struck me that, like, I just think this movie has so much going for it. I wonder what it would be like without that pop culture stuff. But I think so much of that was some of the funniest stuff in the movie that I'm happy it ended up being this way.
Yeah, it would be a less funny movie. I don't know that it would be a worse movie. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because I don't think any of the, like, as far as outside of comedy stuff, I don't think there's a lot that this movie relies on these trademarks for outside of the comedy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the other thing about...
I mean, the crazy glue and stuff like that, I suppose that is a product at a known quantity, but...
Yeah, I think that's a bit of an exception, but okay. I see your point.
Yeah.
Just the other thing about the licensed sets, I think those ones are kind of more straightforward, and you build what's on the front or what the instructions say, whereas older Lego, you know, it had a picture, but I think it was more about kind of free play and building your own thing, and I think that was so much of the thesis of that of this movie, was, you know, do your own thing. So I didn't know if, you know, that lined up with the way the new sets are, and if, you know, pop culture is about doing one more specific thing and then doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Nice little 21 Jump Street love.
Yeah, yeah. That was a nice toss in.
Yeah, very happy about that. Yeah. And yeah, I see just so much of the pop culture stuff I don't know if the kids would get. I love Get Off My Train. That was fantastic. But speaking of kind of the what you said about the Craggle, the crazy glue, I did like when they did work in real world stuff.
Oh, I thought it was great. And I mean, it was super funny and then ends up having this nice little thematic thing that this thematic element that I really enjoyed. And it adds in some more of the creativity because it kind of like doesn't make sense until you get to the twist of the movie. And then it's just, it's so funny. And
yeah. And not distractingly, it doesn't make sense. Like, you know, when they talk about the sort of exact zero and the, however they said nail polish remover of Nail, like it's not, you're not confused at all. Like it's still kind of funny at the time, but yeah, when, as they slowly introduce things and the ghost on the string, another real world object, that was great. But yeah, as they kind of just slowly worked in the real world objects, you know, more and more, and then we get, you know, him falling through that abyss or whatever, and then we're fully in the real world.
Yeah,
I thought that was really well done, and it just, as I said, you weren't confused at the time, but it really kind of escalated all the things that had led up to it. And then that whole turn was something I did not expect to see at all.
Yeah, I don't know that I saw a trailer for this movie. And I assume it wasn't at all shown, this live action stuff. Because
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was totally blindsided by it. And as he's like waking up out of the portal, and you know, you're seeing that kid's face, I'm like, oh my God, this is a new movie. Like, and I just got so excited.
So, and you really like that part?
I thought it's what makes the movie good. Like, it's just a funny movie. And that's what makes it a really good movie.
Okay, yeah. What did you like so much about it? Just that it was such a turn, or did you actually like the content of it?
Totally unexpected, and it changed the meaning of the movie, because I thought the homogenous culture stuff that's all through Bricksburg, that introduction, you know, it's very base, and it's not like things ever get too deep in this movie, but at least the switch to live action sort of added a nice little element like that. You know, the kid has been the storyteller the whole time, and it sort of adds this nice element to the moment, one of the moments you talked about, where Emmett's not listening to Wildstyle, what she's saying in the Old West. He's just like, you know, like, let's get through this. I've already figured out what I care about you, or care about you the most for. It's just sort of like these kids, you know, letting the plot wash over them just so they can get to the good stuff. And the way that the movie sort of calls shenanigans on these tropes, particularly if we look at the prologue, where Morgan Freeman's character dies and, you know, he's like, but I've got a prophecy. And it's just like making fun of these prophecies, and that the kid has been our storyteller really is sort of like this child has these things so ingrained in his head that he knows that they have to be a part of his story. Like these things are everywhere, to the point where they've invaded his own head, and he can't really create the basis for his own story outside of them. And then the fact that he's also calling bullshit on them, I found really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, that is. And kind of from a corporate point of just him being the storyteller the whole time, it's like, this is what you can do with Lego. This is what you're, you know, you can tell these really crazy stories, which is what they want. But yeah, that idea of him telling such a, you know, that the hero's journey, like the most basic story in not just pop culture, but of like human history.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It like he's thinking on that level. It's that deep. And that's what I mean when I said I'm so impressed by like the script. I think they managed to do so much and, you know, tell that story, but tell it in, you know, as you said, with this nice turn in such an interesting way where, you know, we're watching the story through a storyteller's eyes. I don't know. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, for sure. And the whole, the Craggle being the secret weapon of mass destruction or whatever. It's so good. And the way that this kid is sort of using his creativity to talk about the things that actually bother him in his life. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, and one of the major things is, you know, the Kregel, it's what keeps everything in place. Like, he wants to have freedom, he wants to play, he just wants to do, you know, whatever his imagination's able to come up with. And, you know, the Kregel just as this, you know, this destructive weapon, you know, kind of like the end of the world, pretty much, if they can't move anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was great. And, I mean, even just sort of using that as... on Will Ferrell's character, I don't remember I guess we'll just call him the dad. Just
the man upstairs.
Yeah, the man upstairs. Just the idea of sort of him freezing up creatively as he's grown up, and just a lot of nice elements that just throwing Emmett into live action sort of really adds a lot to the movie. And then they happen to do a lot with it. You know?
Yeah. And even Emmett moving on the table in the real world, that was getting a huge laugh in my theater. Just him like willing his way to shake off the table. Yeah. Like, I think just kind of the shock of having that whole new world and then having this character who we've been used to, you know, running around and jumping off space trains and just doing crazy shit all movie. Just trying to see him function in this very, very real, slow, you know, solid place. I think that's kind of why people found that so entertaining. What did you think of the business/political angle of inside Britsburg?
What do you mean specifically?
Well, his name's President Business.
Oh, yes.
There's that. You know, we talked about kind of the dystopian angle, the conformity angle, and then, you know, Fox News and a lot of people have kind of jumped on this for being anti-business and kind of subversive, maybe anti-government. I just didn't know if you thought you saw anything of that at all. I'm asking you if you agree with Fox News all the time. Yes,
yeah. No. It's certainly not anti-business, and it is, I don't, if there is political criticism, it is of the mildest sort. Like, that's bananas. Yeah, no, it's just, and I mean, that's sort of the part of the conversation between the kid and the man upstairs that I really enjoyed at the time, and then sort of started to like, I mean, you know, found it less interesting as time passed and I had left the movie. When he's sort of talking about, when he's talking to President Business, that question that the man upstairs asks him, sorry, I'm just throwing the names back and forth because the sequences are intercut, but yeah. Which I liked a lot. I thought that was a really nice element. But the when Will Ferrell says, if Emmett could say anything to President Business, what would it be? And Emmett talking about how it's not too late to change, and you know, you're special too. And he's saying this to his father, who, you know, has been Kregelized. And I thought that was really nice. But then the fact that, I mean, this movie is still kind of ending in this really, I would say, unexpected, but as soon as we figure out what the unexpected is, it becomes the expected ending. You know what I mean?
How so? What do you mean?
Like, it ends with the father and son hugging, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's still, it's encouraging itself to be more subversive than it is. And I will say, I will take whatever I can get. And I think Lord and Miller are generally the best at walking that line. Like, I think they're the best mainstream directors that nobody knows the names of.
Yeah.
There's just something, there that I can't put my finger on, that just, I can't explain it. It's just like, it gets too sappy. Like, it's really, really great, and that gets too sappy in a way that's predictable.
Yeah, I see. I thought you might hate all the real world stuff. Like,
nope.
Okay.
When we first get into the real world, that was the most surprised I've been by a movie in a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was totally blindsided by it, and I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
This is also my favorite kids movie since Toy Story. Like, I'm talking a lot of shit about it, but I think it's incredible. So,
yeah. What about Wreck-It Ralph?
Wreck-It Ralph was fine.
Yeah, you didn't love Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah.
Oh, The Incredibles. I forgot The Incredibles. The Incredibles is great.
You just called this movie Incredible and you forgot The Incredibles.
Classic me.
Yeah. I guess the way, you know, Lord Business, President Business, his name Business, it's kind of the own, like, it seems to be the defining characteristic of Will Ferrell's character as well. Like, we don't get the all the scenes of, like, oh, you didn't come to my baseball game because you're at work. But, like, he's always seen in a suit, always seems like he's coming home from work. And then he's just very businesslike about his Lego as well. Like,
yeah.
There's this section that you can play with, and then there's my section, and nothing ever moves, and I'm going to glue it all in place, and I want things to be, you know, just the way it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's sort of found a comfort, and he wants to kind of keep it there.
Yeah. So just going back to the kind of the idea of what this movie's trying to say, you know, not necessarily politically or business-wise, but... socially, there's a lot of talk kind of about the balance between individuality and conforming to a group.
Yeah. And I mean, we get a lot of setup with Emmett. We kind of talked about it, but when he's arrested by good cop, bad cop, and, you know, we're getting interviews with, like, Barry and the rest of the people that he works with. And it's just sort of, he has nothing to define himself. He's not even, like, the chicken or the, you know, the sausage guy or whatever.
That part was funny to me. Yeah.
There's just nothing about him that makes him stand out. You know, he's just sort of, he's super nice. And I assume he's good to everybody even before the movie's showing him as this happy, nice guy, you know? But yeah, there's just nothing that stands out.
Yeah, no one has a bad thing to say about him, but they just kind of have nothing to say about him, which, you know, it seems like it's even worse for him. And then we have Lord Business, who hates the Master Builders, who are you know, like, our freest thinkers in this movie. They're the ones who are so creative and do their own thing, and, you know, they can make all these things just with you know, their creativity and their imagination. And, you know, that's the antithesis of Lord Business. He wants everything to be one way. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like it's so much of a balance. Like, it doesn't seem like this movie is happy with the way Emmett is. As positive as he is, and as much as we like him, I think we're supposed to side more with someone like Wild Style, who, you know, when Emmett says his favorite restaurant is any chain restaurant, she's disgusted. And, you know, she did her best to end the long-running "where are my pants" by giving him his pants. We're not supposed to be totally on board with Emmett, I don't think. Like, we like him and we cheer for him, and he's definitely our likable protagonist, but this complete conformity seems to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And then the complete individualism of Lord Business, who kind of sees the world, or he sees a world that he wants to be a certain way. You know, and I mean Lord Business and Will Ferrell's, you know, human character, the man upstairs, whatever you want to call him. He sees the world one way, and he wants it to be that way, and he wants it to never change. Mm-hmm. So there's just a big kind of just like a tug and war throughout this whole movie that both of those things taken to the extreme are bad. Like, to be too much of an individual is bad because, you know, then no one's happy except for you. And then to be kind of, you know, to have too much conformity, everything becomes lowest common denominator, and we get chain restaurants, and we get, you know, bad TV, and then we stop the master builders from expressing themselves and making new things and advancing culture. Mm-hmm. So it does this back and forth for a while. And I think the really interesting part of this movie in terms of this is when they go to Cloud Cuckoo Land, EDM city where Unikitty lives. Yeah. Like, he has a problem with Cloud Cuckoo Land's lack of signs and instructions. Like, and I think that's usually such a happy place in other movies. It's like, oh, you get to do whatever you want, and it's great, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's pointed out as being kind of problematic when she says there's no negativity and there's no this and there's no this.
We just put it all down deep inside and never think about it.
Yeah, and then Wild Style says, well, you just said no so many times, there must be negativity, pretty much. it just shows that that's inconsistent as well. Like, mm-hmm. everyone doing whatever they want is never going to be happy, because everyone doing what they want is eventually going to step on someone else's toes. Then they're not doing what they want. And I don't know. I thought that was a surprisingly kind of mature statement to make in a kid's movie. That's not like, hey, you can't just have fun and do stuff all the time. It's you're going to upset someone by doing this, yeah. which is a very kind of pro-social value, kind of a very basic idea to put into kids' movies. But it actually reminded me of the Bill Maher quote, which I didn't think I'd be reminded of in a Lego movie.
He said, yeah, like, you and the 8-year-old in front of you are reminded yeah, of this quote.
Exactly. No, but he said, let's not become so tolerant to tolerate other people's intolerance.
Yep.
Which is to say, like, no, not everything goes all the time. Not the way everyone lives has to be accepted, because it's not something, some way, the way some people live is not accepting of other people. And so you can't accept that. Mm. But yeah, I thought all the Cloud Cuckoo Land stuff, while being so wild and like fantastical, actually said something kind of new and surprising for a kid's movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it just all kind of speaks to, you know, what I was saying earlier about that tug of war between, you know, individuality and conformity. And this movie kind of says something about like coordinated individualism, yeah. like working as a team, still being yourself, but not so much that it's bugging other people. And then that kind of gets driven home when, you know, Will Ferrell and what's the kid's name? Sam?
Like the live action kid?
Yeah.
I think it's Finn.
Finn? Okay. Yeah. And then they kind of, you know, go through the world together and, you know, fix some stuff, but then keep some stuff. And he's impressed by, you know, what his son has done. And, you know, it's because the man upstairs had made this whole big city that Finn or Emmett can even have this adventure in. So, you know, it is, you know, let's structure something, let's work together, which, you know, the master builders do at the end. That's how they, you know, end up winning, is they all use all their creativity to do their own thing, but also put it together for like a bigger, you know, like Voltron kind of thing that yeah. works well. So it's just a cool balance of, you know, individuality and teamwork that was, I don't know, I thought they hit it home really well without really forcing it down your throats, and it being just one more thing that this movie did right that impressed yeah. me so much.
Yeah, for sure.
You have anything more to say about the Lego movie?
I've got like 4 more minutes of Batman stuff.
Okay. No, I enjoy the invisible jet being shot
a lot. That was really funny.
That's such a solid, like, not easy, but like such a little simple joke that takes 4 seconds. That is a really, really good laugh.
Yeah. I also thought, we haven't mentioned him at all, I thought Charlie Day was amazing in this movie. so great.
Not given tons to do, but just again, another just super enthusiastic part yeah. of this movie.
Him yelling well. Spaceship over and over again.
You're not going to stop me this time?
Yeah, the way they set up him getting to build the spaceship throughout the whole movie, and then him actually being so excited about what he did.
Yeah, it reminded me of all the stuff not blowing up in 21 Jump Street and then being surprised by it constantly, and then finally a massive explosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll certainly be doing a podcast on 22 Jump Street and probably one on 21 Jump Street leading up to 22, but yeah, I'm very confident that Phil Lord and Chris Miller are the going to be a couple of my favorite directors going forward for a while. I think they haven't figured out how to make a great movie yet. I think, I mean, 21 Jump Street is, I'm a huge fan of that movie, and I think that's better than this movie, but not by as much as you might think. Like, I think they'll make a great movie someday, and they've been so close, like 2.5 times. I think you liked Cloudy with Chance and Meatballs a lot better than I did, but I'm so confident they'll get there, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, 21 Jump Street was a big surprise for people, but I think this is going to put them on some serious radar. Is like the critical love and the money this is making.
Yeah,
like,
well, this movie has been successful enough so far, assuming it continues to be, and I can't imagine why it wouldn't, because, you know, it's not like word of mouth is going to bring down its grosses in second weekend.
No, exactly. The reviews are amazing.
And people, like, this is the movie I've been asked about the most since, like, Wolf of Wall Street came out, you know? By a variety of different people that, you know, I'm 27, you know, people my age and that are still going to see it. And this movie's the kind of success that They can kind of write their own ticket. And every movie they've made has been super successful. So I'm really curious to know what they do after 22 Jump Street, because assuming 22 Jump Street is a success, having that and the Lego Movie come out in less than 6 months apart from each other, like,
yeah,
that's... If the Lego Movie by itself wasn't write your own ticket type of thing, then those two definitely will be.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to be riding pretty high, man.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, like this cost $60 million. It made $69 million in the first weekend, which is another way to my heart. Like, wait, that they had no control.
Yeah, they had to throw one more joke in there for you in the opening weekend grosses.
Next level. Like, that's a meta joke.
The funny thing is I saw those grosses and rolled my eyes. I was like, James is going to love that.
Oh, like if there was something
if the box office stops at $420 million, you will just lose your mind.
Oh, and there's a chance. No, it'll make more than that.
Yeah. Oh, it'll definitely make more than that.
Which is fantastic.
It's probably made more than that since we started talking about it. Having a big Thursday. But thank you.
You know what that is?
What?
Awesome. Everything is awesome.
Not everything is, though. but thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Man. Be sure to check back next week when we will be talking about who knows what. But yeah, thanks for listening.
Yes, this is real music. Dark, brooding, important, groundbreaking. Check out the lyrics. Darkness. No. Darkness, more darkness, get it? The opposite of light, black hole, curtains drawn, in the basement, middle of the night, blacked out windows, other places that are dark, black suit. You get it, that's just the first verse. Darkness. No parents. Super rich. Kinda makes it better.